Good morning. So last Saturday, I had a dream about coming up here, and in it, everything went wrong. So the fact that my microphone is on, I see the PowerPoint, my stand has not fallen over multiple times, I'm saying this is a win. It's good. It's a good start. But honestly, I had that dream because I had a lot of nerves about being up here. But it's actually a huge joy that I get to share with you this morning about prayer. Corrie ten Boom asked the question, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? I love that imagery, especially from a Christian whose faith has been tested. Prayer has become my steering wheel. It's how I'm able to know God and hear his voice in my life. And later, I'm going to tell you how it was God's voice that actually prompted me to be up here this morning. But first, I need you to know that prayer used to be my spare tire. God has shown me differently. He's shown me a different way. And I firmly believe that God has given me a message that he wants each person in this room to hear. Growing up, I've seen different people praying at different times, at sporting events, church services, meal times, bedtime. I have a really special memory when I visited my grandma in college, and I had stayed overnight, my grandma Heckman, and at bedtime, she knelt beside her bed, which was actually a pretty big task for her to do at that time, and she started to pray for all the people she loved. She prayed for things that mattered to her, and I actually remember her praying for Montel Williams. He had been, I think, diagnosed with MS at the time, and I chuckled about it, but I remember thinking it was so sweet and wondered what God thought of this faithfulness in prayer. Prayer to me at that time seemed to be defined as going to God with a list of all our troubles. When we're worried, when we needed something, when we're upset, when we needed help. And scripture supports that. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 68:19 says, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. God wants us to go to him with our needs. He is there for us. Not only is he there for us, but he's the only one in the entire universe with the power to meet our needs. He is sovereign and he is able, and it is good and right that we go to him. But if this is the way we view prayer, as only going to him with our list of needs, we're missing out on more that God has for us. We're treating prayer like a spare tire. We're missing out on a deeper relationship with God, one that I can testify will transform your life. Here's what I want to make sure you hear today. So if you tune me out the rest, at least hear this part. Prayer is meant to be a conversation. We are not only meant to talk to God, but we're actually made to hear from him. Prayer is meant to be a conversation, and that conversation is crucial to relationship. Think for a minute about listening to a radio show host or a series of podcasts. You might listen every day in the car ride to work, and you hear all their stories and opinions, and you feel like you know them. You like them. You like their wit, their personality, their banter. But do you have a relationship with them? Do you actually know them? If you ran into them on a street, would you even recognize them? Would you know their heart? Would they know yours? They certainly would not know yours. Why? Because conversation is crucial to relationship. This applies to our relationship with God in a huge way. If all we ever do is talk at God, but we never stop to hear from him, we have a radio host type of relationship. It's a one-way conversation, which if you look up the definition of conversation, isn't really a conversation at all. It might feel nice at times. And again, I said earlier, we want to go to God. He wants us to go to God with our troubles. We might enjoy a vent session with God. I mean, who doesn't like to vent? But at the end of the day, if this is all we do, do we really have a deeper relationship with God? We all know people in this world like this who talk and talk but don't really listen. It doesn't feel good because we don't actually feel like we have a relationship with them. We don't actually know them. They don't know us. We're just their ear. Do you think God ever feels like that with one of us? If you answered yes to that, you are not alone. Unfortunately, I've treated my prayers like that for far longer than I want to admit. Even after I learned what I'm teaching today, I continue to go to God, sometimes just spouting off my wish list for the day or the week, without really stopping to try to hear from Him. I don't think this is what God desires for us. He designed us for relationship, not just with other people, but with Him. I want to challenge you today to grow in your relationship with God in a new way. No matter where you're at with God, we can learn to lean into Him more and more and spend more time listening and paying attention to what He has to say. So how did I grow in this? How did God teach me this? One key way He brought me to this understanding is through His Word. For those of you who don't know my story, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in high school. I had some rough spots growing up, and some pretty painful times. But ultimately, I was led to the Lord by various people who loved God. They listened to me, they showed me kindness, and they pointed me to God's Word. When I figured out that I could learn more about God on my own, not just what people told me, I was so excited. Now, I'm a reader, and when I dove into the Bible, I just began to read a lot. And I was especially interested in the life of Jesus. Everything Jesus did was so amazing, His miracles, His healings, but especially the way He reached out to people that everybody else seemed to forget about. The words He spoke were so wise and so thought-provoking, it made me want to pay attention. And then I got to the Lord's Prayer. Now, most of us could probably recite the Lord's Prayer. When I was younger, I sometimes attended a Lutheran church, and I think they recited the Lord's Prayer every week, and I had memorized it. But to be honest, I was just saying the words, until a certain day, sometime in my late teens. I'd been reading Jesus' words, I'm guessing, in Matthew, and it started, "This then is how you should pray." For some reason, it struck me totally different that day. All of a sudden, I realized that Jesus wanted to teach me how to pray. Our sovereign God gives all of us a model for prayer, and I needed to stop and pay attention. I realized that God wanted me to use this prayer as a way to stop and share my heart with Him. He wanted me to lean into Him and give Him every area of my life, my daily needs, my desires, my weaknesses. He wanted to engage with me in a conversation. So I began to pray that prayer, but I would stop and pray in my own words as well. And then I would leave space for God to speak. What began to happen is that as I prayed this way and stopped, I began to get little nudgings from God. Let me give you an example. When I prayed, "Forgive us our debts," I would ask God, "How have I sinned against you today? What have I done that wasn't pleasing to you?" And then I would wait. And almost seconds later, I could hear in my heart a specific thing that I knew was an action, a word, a thought that wasn't pleasing to God. The way you talked about a friend wasn't pleasing to me. The selfish attitude you had with your family needs to change. The person who annoys you is of great value to me. What I didn't fully get at the time was that was the Holy Spirit convicting me of my sin. God speaking to me about my specific sin. Stopping to let God speak to me in those moments allowed me to hear from Him, hear what He wanted to do in me, what He wanted to change in me. Another example, when I would pray, "Your will be done," I would stop and ask God things like, "What's your plan for me? What do you want me to do today? What choice should I make in a specific situation, like a job?" I have many examples of ways that God has spoken to me over the years, and He's given me clarity about different things. But one time was especially powerful because it was one of the first times that I heard specific words from God. I was in college, and I was asking God to use me on my campus. And I felt God prompting me to share some challenging words with a close Christian friend. The basic gist of the message was, "You're trying to run ahead of God. Stop trying to run ahead of God and let Him lead." Not the easiest thing to say to somebody who wasn't asking. Like, who was I to say this to them? Well, I decided to listen to God, and while running with this friend, very ironic, I shared those words, and she got defensive. I wondered if I had mistaken my own thoughts with God's words, until she came back to me a little bit later and she thanked me for them. She revealed that God was calling her a certain way, but she kept dealing with her own agenda. She was defensive because she knew it was true. She had been running ahead of God. A little while later, my friend Tara would be called into full-time ministry. She had some big decisions ahead of her. And it makes my heart really happy to say that Tara continues to be 20 years later in full-time ministry with her husband, and she's trying to seek to follow God's lead instead of her own agenda. As I was writing this part in the sermon, I got emotional because I recognized that the words were from the Holy Spirit, and he used me that day. But I also realized that those words apply to me too. I'm guessing they might also apply to you as well, because all of us struggle with just wanting to do our own thing. God says to each one of us, stop running ahead of me. Stop pushing your own agenda. Follow me. Align with me and my will. The only way we can stop doing our own thing is by building our relationship with God, by communicating with him and stopping to listen. Through this relationship, we will be changed. It's actually guaranteed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about how as Christians, we will reflect God's glory, and we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Spirit. This is a process that happens to each one of us who know God. It's during our conversations with God and in his word where we learn to align ourselves with him and his will. We get to know him and learn how to follow him. His Spirit will transform us. So I've talked a bit about hearing God's voice, and so I think I need to stop and explain that, because hearing from God is crucial to our relationship with him and our conversations. Over the years, I've heard many people ask questions about this. How do you hear God's voice? How do you know that it's God speaking? Is it audible? Is it always clear? Why isn't God speaking to me? These are questions I've heard. First and foremost, we must know and be confident in this truth. God wants us to hear his voice. He can speak to us in many different ways, but we need to be listening. Sometimes it's through his word. Sometimes he uses other people. Sometimes it's in the quiet space that we give him to speak to our hearts. A nudge, a prompt, or even specific words. Jeremiah 33:3 is a very dear verse to me. Let me tell you why. In 1999, that sounds really long ago right now, I was standing in a Mexican village serving with Adventures in Missions, and a man who looked homeless, he was dressed in old dirty clothes, came up to me. Now, for those of you who know me well, you know that I love trying to speak Spanish with people. So I engaged with this man, but he actually didn't want to talk to me. He just wanted to very quickly share a message with me. So several times, very rapidly and in Spanish, he said, Jeremiah 33:3, Jeremiah 33:3. To be honest, the whole encounter was weird, because right after he said that, he just walked away. I was like, what was that? So I, of course, quickly flip open my Bible to Jeremiah 33. I want to know what it said. And it said this, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Those words have never left my heart, because it seemed like God brought that verse specifically to me through this man. I was about to go into my senior year in college, a really crucial time in my life, and God wanted me to know that I could go to him with all things, that he would guide me. God doesn't want us to be confused. He doesn't want us wandering aimlessly. He has great plans for us. He has specific things for each one of us to do. He has specific things to say to each one of us. We are that dear to him, and he promises to guide us and respond to us. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Unsearchable things. These are things that we can't find by looking anywhere else. Only the sovereign God of the universe knows. And he's telling us that he wants us to call to him, and he will answer. That's amazing. Looking at this verse 20 years later, my eyes are different. I now know to look at the context of Scripture. Who wrote it? When was it written? What was the culture of the time? Who was it written to? How does it apply? Well, the words came from, surprise, surprise, Jeremiah. And he was a prophet called by God with the difficult task of proclaiming judgment on the people of Israel. The people of Israel had continually strayed from God, and not only strayed, but actually actively embraced evil at times. Much of Jeremiah's words are about destruction and could be described as crushing. But then you get to chapters 30, 33, Jeremiah speaks of restoration and redemption, a promise of a new covenant, one we now know came through Jesus, one in which God will write his law in our minds and write it on our hearts, and where all will know him from the least of them to the greatest. Shortly later, Jeremiah's words again say, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. God wants to speak to you. He wants you to speak to him. He desires a relationship with you. Even the Israelites who actively kept straying away and even sometimes turning totally away from him, he wanted to speak to them. He wanted them to call out to him, and he would answer. In all the other relationships you have in your life, both parties are flawed. There is no person on this planet who can fully meet your needs or carry your burdens, nor can you fully meet the needs of another or carry their burdens. Why? Because we're not sovereign, we're not all-powerful, and we're not all-knowing. Well, we certainly fool ourselves into thinking that we or somebody else is one of those things. But the truth is that only God is sovereign, all-powerful, and all-knowing. And that's why we should go to him. The fact that he allows us to do this is so amazing. And he not only allows us to come directly to him, but he actually welcomes us and encourages us to do so. In Hebrews 4:16, we're encouraged to approach the throne of grace with confidence because we have Jesus who has gone before us. In Ephesians 3:12, we're told that in Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And in the scripture that Pastor Les read earlier in Psalm 145, we're told that the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So how do we go about listening to God? I've already established that prayer is a conversation and that conversation is necessary in relationship. So part of our prayer life should be stopping to listen. For me, this is finding space in my busy life to be quiet before God in order to hear from him. Our culture does not make this easy. In fact, our culture in general does not honor being quiet. It says we should make our voice known and that our voice should be the loudest. Think about social media. We share our opinion constantly, even when it's not asked for, and we have a hard time listening to the opinions of others. Listening is hard. It's a difficult skill in general because it requires us to put aside our own agenda and our own needs for a moment to focus on what somebody else has to say. How can we listen to the God of the universe? What does God's voice even sound like? For me, it's never been audible. I've never had the privilege that Moses had of hearing a distinct voice from a burning bush. That would have been cool. To me, his voice has been more of promptings or nudgings, but even sometimes very specific words that come to mind, like in my early example with a friend in college. I can't say it's always been crystal clear. Sometimes I have to wrestle a bit to decipher what he's saying, but his voice has become more and more distinct in my life. I have less and less questioning of whether or not it's him. The reason for that is because I'm growing in God's word. Prayer coupled with God's word are the most powerful tools we have to hear from God. God will always speak to us in ways that line up with his word of truth. I believe the primary way we begin to really hear God's voice is through his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Through reading the Bible, we begin to identify God's voice. After all, many times in the Bible it says, "God says," or "Thus says the Lord," depending on your version. In fact, in my research, it's around 4,000 times that this occurs, and I did not count those. If we love God, we want to hear what he says, right? We must study his word and get to know his instructions for his people. And we also get a sense of his heart and his love for all people. We need his word to know about Jesus and what he's done for us, why the cross matters so much. Getting to know God's word more and more is enabling me to distinguish his voice over the many competing voices in our lives. I think you would agree with me that there are many competing voices in our lives, voices that might not line up with what God has for us. What we watch on TV, media, politics, even good friends. God will never tell us to do something that is against his word. His voice will always line up with who he is. If we hear something that does not line up with God's word, we can know it is not from God. I want God's voice to be the loudest voice in my life. I want to be confident in knowing that God is speaking. The best way I can ensure this is through knowing Scripture. In Hebrews 4, we're told God's word is living and active. God can and will use it to speak to us directly. There are times I've been praying and asking God for help or guidance, and I was directed to a verse that spoke to my exact need at that moment. And I know that many of you have had similar experiences. This is God speaking to us. Last year around this time, I had the amazing privilege of playing field hockey on the U.S. Masters team to represent at the Indoor World Cup in China. Very thankful there was no coronavirus at the time. I could have been stuck there for a long, long time. But I was feeling a high level of pressure, and I began to feel discouraged. After 1 4-hour practice in particular, I was super discouraged. I had not been playing great. I messed up on a drill. I was tired. I was hungry, maybe a little hangry. I was really just, it was a frustrating practice, and some of my teammates were overly frustrated. Language was flying, and some of it may have been directed at me. Now, I need to stop here and let you in on a huge flaw that I have. I am a people pleaser. I care way too much about what people think about me. I don't want to disappoint anybody. And sometimes this even gets in the way of me listening to God or doing what I know he wants me to do. I can get my identity and my self-worth wrapped up and lost in what other people think. It's a lifelong battle I've dealt with and one that God continues to work on with me. So as I headed home from that practice, I prayed to God for help. I asked him for his reassurance, because what was going on in my mind was, should I even be on this team? Do I even belong here? I started to compare myself. I did not feel good enough. I never come out on the right end when I compare myself. It's just not a good thing to do. So when I got home, I opened my Bible, and that night, God led me to a passage in Psalm 103:11. I had shared this at a prayer and praise time earlier. He told me, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." They were the perfect words to remind me that my identity is in him. My worth was not in how good or not good I performed, but simply because he loved me. Because God knows me better than anyone else, he knew exactly what the issue was. I need reassurance that he loves me just as I am, that my worth was found in the fact that I'm his precious daughter, and he had put me on that team for a reason. On that day, he used that specific verse to speak specifically to me. Try saying that fast. He's done that many times, and I feel incredibly, incredibly loved when it happens. Words written for everyone were also written just for me, and they were written just for you. Listening to God involves our attention. So hopefully, I still have yours, I just have a little bit more to share. In my job, I get to talk about attention almost every day. I work in early intervention with birth to three-year-olds who have developmental delays. I go into the homes of these kiddos, and I teach and coach families often about foundational language skills. The most foundational skills in early, very early language, I'm talking babies, is eye contact and something called joint attention or shared attention. Basically, this means paying attention to what others are paying attention to, allowing others to point out things or share things with you so you can learn their meaning. We learn much of our language and communication skills from these two things. They're really important. Communicating with God means seeking to look at Him, eye contact, and paying attention to what He wants to show us, shared attention. We can grow in these skills by being intentional. For me, a powerful way I've tried to be intentional about listening to God is to daily find a quiet space, or at least semi-quiet, and chat with God. Now, we all know that in the busy and noisy lives that we lead, this can be a big challenge. That's why it has to be intentional. It's not going to just happen. Do you know there are 1,440 minutes in every single day? Do you think you could find 10 to 15 minutes to chat with our sovereign God? Maybe you could find more than that. For me, sometimes this is on the sofa early in the morning. It's often in my car ride to and from work. It can be during a run or a walk by myself. My phone is away, the TV is off, and I intentionally settle down to be quiet with God. I ask God to speak to me. Eye contact suggests I want to hear from Him. Thoughts often quickly come when I do this. Sometimes if I'm able, I jot them down. Sometimes these thoughts are good but kind of generic, like, honor me with your words. Like, it's something I know, but it's like He was saying it again to me. Other times they're very specific, like, Bridget, you need to reach out to your teammate Kelly. You need to encourage her. Many times this has happened to me, and I find out that on the other end of that, that person is in the middle of something really tough going on, and God had just nudged me to respond. This voice is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to every Christian. He's our constant guide, our comforter, our helper, indwelling in each one of us. He's a person of the Trinity. He is God, and He longs to speak to us. But we can't hear Him if we don't make time to listen. Seek to pay attention to what God is showing you. Remember that prayer is a conversation, and conversation is crucial to relationship. My last story about prayer and hearing from God involves why I'm standing before you today. In November, we had a ministry council meeting, and Pastor Les mentioned a prayer event idea for this church. He wanted to kick off on Rally Day, and it would be 40 days of prayer, and he said he had a speaker in mind. After he said that, I immediately heard in my mind, you should be that speaker. And I instantly thought back, what? That's ridiculous. And I totally dismissed it. After the meeting, I ran into Les in the hallway, and as he was talking to me, I again heard the words, you should be that speaker. And I again dismissed it, even thinking that that cannot be God speaking, because Les already had a speaker in mind. However, that night and the next morning, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Where was this coming from? Was this God talking to me? So on the way to work that next day, I spent time talking to God about it. I asked Him to let me know clearly if it was Him. I asked Him if there was something about this that was more about me, like did I would just want to be up front. Pretty sure that wasn't it. But I asked God to search my heart, because we all have our weaknesses. And then I waited, and I sought to listen. Remember, call to me, and I will answer you. I again heard the words, you should be that speaker, and then a message flooded my heart. Flooded. It's the one you're hearing today. God wanted me to share with you how prayer has built my relationship with Him. Not a superficial, I know stuff about you, radio host type of relationship, but one, a real relationship built on many, many conversations. Now, I'm ashamed to admit that even after this car ride conversation with God, I did nothing for a few days. To be honest, I didn't really want to do it. I did, and I didn't. So I don't love being up front like this to speak, and even when I'm really excited to share something during prayer and share time, I have to force myself to come up here. But I decided that I wanted to obey God. So I shared this with Travis. I shared this idea that I should be the speaker. And his reaction was very similar to my initial reaction. He actually said, "Why should you be the speaker?" And I said, "I know." Those are my exact thoughts. Very compassionate, he was. But then I went on to tell him how I felt God speak to me. And he immediately said, "Bridget, if you feel this is God directing you, you need to listen." I thank God for the encouragement of fellow believers. His advice was spot on. We should always obey God, even when it's hard, even when it's out of our comfort zone. I'm thankful for a husband who encouraged me in this way. Side note, sharing what we think from God with other Christians, or even asking them to hear from God with you, is a good practice. They will help us know if God is really speaking and encourages us to obey when he is. So you'd think I went right to Les then, running to Les. Nope. I waited a little bit more. I think I was hoping that Les would send out an email or something announcing this was the speaker he has for Spring Rally Day, and I'd be off the hook. But finally, I sent him an email sharing this prompting from God, and even making sure to tell him if he already had somebody else in mind, that's okay, I'd be totally fine. In fact, I'd be relieved. His email response came back a couple minutes later, and it couldn't have been more clear to me that God had spoken to me in that ministry council meeting. He actually said, "This is too funny. You are the person I had in mind as the speaker." God had spoken to me loud and clear, and it just took me a while to fully know that it was him and obey. I had to wrestle with it, and I think that's okay. We can wrestle, we can talk with God and talk it out. So this morning, I obeyed God. I shared my heart on prayer with you, and I'm challenging you to consider how your prayers could look different in your life. Prayer is how we align ourselves with our sovereign God and his will. It's all about having conversations with God, and these conversations are crucial to our relationship with him. As a church, we want to help each other to do this more and more often. We want to help each other to stop and look at God, eye contact, and pay attention to what he's saying to us, both individually and collectively. So to do this, Akron Grace is starting a 40-day journey with prayer that will lead us up to Easter, and I hope you'll consider doing this. On the way out today, you'll be given a prayer guide that has scripture and some prayer prompts for 40 days beginning this Wednesday. The goal is to sit quietly for a few minutes each day and have a conversation with God. There'll be space to jot thoughts down if you want, but the aim will be to not only share with God, but to stop and pay attention to what he wants to say to you. This might come through the scripture that's given. It might be a prompt or a nudge, or maybe even specific words. Expect that he will speak to you in some way over that time. Some quick advice, and then I promise I'm done. First is try not to be legalistic about this. And what I mean by that, because this is something I struggle with, is simply doing this to check something off your checklist. Be intentional about making this about relationship. Two, try not to compare yourself with others. I think this is a tool of Satan, who really just wants to discourage us from going to God. Instead, aim to really hear from God, that you would hear from God, and line up your desires with his. Three, start wherever you're at. Whether this message is new to you or something you've understood for a long, long time, God accepts you just as you are, and I'm so thankful for that. Remember that God desires a relationship with you. He desires it so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that there would be no barrier, no sin too great to come to him. And last piece of advice, be intentional. You have 1,444 minutes each day. Could you spend time with him in prayer? Move from a spare tire view of prayer to making prayer a steering wheel for your life. And plant in your heart Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for enabling me to be up here this morning. Thank you that I'm done. And thank you, Lord, for speaking. I pray that each person in this room will be drawn closer to you. I pray that if their prayer life is already strong, that you will just strengthen it and help them to lean into you more and more. And God, if their prayer life, if they rarely talk to you or they've never listened to you before, I pray that this will just nudge them to start doing so, Lord, developing a deeper relationship with you. And if someone in this room has never really considered you, I pray that you'll move them closer to knowing you as their Lord and Savior. Father, you are so good, and I thank you that you allow us to come to you with every need in our lives. Help us to do so with just to follow after you and stop trying to run ahead of you. Put everything at your feet, Lord. And just I pray for you to speak to each one of us loud and clear, Lord, and then help us to obey. I thank you again, Father, and I just pray a blessing on this group of listeners this morning, that they would know you like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.